We love him. I want to thank Pastor Tom for allowing me to bump him off the schedule. He was planning on speaking, but since I got bumped out of South Africa, I thought, well, I would like to address us in this kind of a unique situation, a unique setting where we have a lot of our people who are at home watching, and which I'm very, very grateful for. I'm grateful for Adam and all of his team that allows us to be able to live stream and do this, and so we can be a great benefit to our community. A lot of churches that are having to make this decision are going, what are we going to do? They don't know how to live stream. We've tried to help a number of churches in doing that. Adam's helped a bunch. So such a time as this. It's an interesting time that we're in, and again, I want to thank everyone who's viewing at home. We're glad you're here with us. Our president has called for a national day of prayer today. A national day of prayer amidst this global health crisis that we seem to find ourselves in. He said this, and I appreciated some of his words. You know, he didn't just call a national day of prayer. I like what he said, and I want to read them to you. He said, "We are a country that throughout our history has looked to God for protection and strength in times like these. No matter where you may be, I encourage you to turn towards prayer in an act of faith." Wow, a president of the United States is saying something like this. Incredible. "Together, we will easily prevail." I would like to add one word to it. "Together and with God, we will easily prevail." We will prevail. As I said, God knew about this. He knew what was going on. And he has a plan. He has a plan. He has a plan. He does his most amazing stuff when we seem to be the most perplexed. He gets our attention a lot easier during times such as these. When I think about crises or crises, I think about the book of Esther. I think about when it was a really tough time, a tough situation that was facing the people. When the Jews were in a very, very tough spot, they were facing annihilation. They're going to be wiped out as a nation. Not by a virus, but by a wicked man's revenge upon the people. But God did not allow that to happen. And he put certain people in places at certain times so they'd be right there, right when it was needed. Put Esther right there where she needed to be to bring relief for the Jewish nation during that time. And I love it when Mordecai came to Esther and he says this in Esther 4:14b. "Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this." I believe that we as a church, Living Faith Fellowship, I believe we as church people throughout the nation have come for such a time as this. We are to be ready for such a time as this. During times of difficulty and uncertainty, when it's easy to let fear set in, this becomes the church's finest hour. I want you to think about this is our finest hour right now. Light shines brighter in the darkness. When people are worried, we have an opportunity to shine the light and share the love of Jesus Christ to people who are looking for hope, they're looking for answers, and they're looking for peace. Church, we are here for such a time as this. Remember, the more we've been asking for, Lord, we want to do more. Hey, we got it. We got it. We got it right now. We can do more for our community. We can be a place of refuge, a place of certainty, a place of hope, a place of peace, a place where people can come and go, wow, okay, I just need somewhere to go. I need somewhere to pray. I need God right now. I love it. During these times, people are turning to God a lot more than in all of the nice and easy times. A good friend of mine, Pastor Daryl Merrill Jr., he pastors in Chicago, Christian Life Center. He posted this quote from A.W. Tozer. It says this: "A frightened world needs a fearless church." A frightened world needs a fearless church in such a time as this. In such a time as this. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit now more than ever. We need to be hearing the voice of God now more than ever. What should we do? What do we take? What direction do we do? How can we minister? Even your own life personally, as well as us as a body of Christ corporately. We need to be hearing to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And when He calls, we need to answer, "Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Here am I, I'm willing to go to the front lines. I'm willing to help out. I'm willing to bring peace. I'm willing to share the gospel. I'm willing to step outside of my comfort zone and give people a reason to keep on keeping on." Our world is in crisis, in turmoil, worried, afraid, fearful because of the unknown. They need hope. They need answers. They need peace. I want to talk about those three words in the remainder of my message. The first one here is hope. What are people looking for? They're looking for hope. Psalm 31:24 says, "Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord." You see, the only really good place to put your hope is in the Lord. We need to put our hope in something that is certain. Our hope in something that is assured. Not something that we don't know if it's going to fail us tomorrow. Our hope is not in the stock market, correct? As we found out this last week, a couple of weeks, right? Our hope is not in the stock market. Your fear may be in the stock market, but your hope is not in the stock market. We want to put into something that's certain, something that's not volatile, something that moves at every whim. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is certain, who is sure, who are strong shoulders that we can put our hope in. Amen. Something that lasts, not just for a moment, but lasts for all eternity. Psalm 146:5, "Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Hope makes us happy instead of fearful. Jeremiah 17:7, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord." Hope in God makes us blessed if it's in the Lord. Ephesians 2:12 and 13, and this is a key scripture. I think for times like this, I think the Lord gave it so we would understand. Look at this verse. It says, "Having no hope and without God in the world." Having no hope, it kind of goes with without having God in the world. I don't have any hope. Why? Because I don't have God. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. I think this is an important comment. I hope you can understand it. Crises expose the hopelessness of a world without God. Amen. Crises expose the hopelessness of a world without God. The world now is, wow, I could get this. I could die. That would be horrible. You know what? As a Christian, if you get that and you die, hallelujah, you just get promoted. We get to see the Lord sooner. Now, I don't think anybody's just trying to rush to that moment, right? But the idea is, oh my gosh, what if the worst happened? It would be the best. If the worst happened to you, in moments, it would be the very best thing that ever happened to you. In moments. You see, we have a hope. We have hope in Jesus Christ. We have hope in the gospel. We have hope that doesn't cause us to worry. We have a hope. But right now, when crises happen, they begin to understand and it exposes the hopelessness of a world without God. It reveals the shallowness and emptiness of our worldly treasures, trinkets, and idols. It reveals the shallowness and emptiness of our worldly treasures, trinkets, and idols. We don't realize it until anxiety sets in. People don't get this hopelessness. They don't get this idea that, hey, maybe I shouldn't be investing here. Everything's going crazy. They don't get it until they face this anxiousness, this anxiety. And when anxiety sets in, then we realize we want something more permanent. We want something more permanent. We want something more sure. We want something that can't be taken away from us. We want something eternal. People, we want God. What they really want right now, they want God. We just need to be a voice that will share it with them. In this moment, the water cooler, instead of going, oh my gosh, look at this stock market, look at this. Oh my gosh, look at this pandemic. We should say, hey, you know what? But there's an answer to that. That's Jesus Christ. He gives us hope. He gives us encouragement. He's eternal. Nobody's taking him away. He's not going to be knocked off the planet with a virus. It's a great time to share him in your daily conversations. People, at such a time as this, could we cooperate with the Holy Spirit and maybe mention the name of Jesus a little more often? Wherever we are. It's the only real hope. Amen. There is no other hope. Colossians 1:27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our eternal hope is Christ. Christ in us, that's our hope. And that can never be taken away, not by any crises. It can never be taken away. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. What? Why do you have this hope? Why are you not worried? Why are you not upset? Why are you not just, you know, expounding at the water cooler with everybody else about this, that, and the other? I'm not worried. I'm not worried about what the stock market's going to do. I'm not worried about what all is going to happen with the virus. I'm praying. Be hopeful. Bring hope. Share hope. So hope, I think one of the aspects is they're looking for hope. Secondly, I think in this time right now, people are looking for answers, aren't they? Boy, what's the answer? What's the answer? You know that 83 times in the four Gospels, it says this. Jesus answered. 83 times. Look there, 83 times. That's a lot of them when you do a search. They're just one after another. 83 times, Jesus answered. That's what it says. Jesus answered, and then some profound thing was said. Jesus answered, and another profound thing. Jesus answered, and it was just like, wow, 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 wow. Jesus is the answer, right? And Jesus has answers. And those answers are in here. But the world needs to know that. In Mark 11:22, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. That's the answer, isn't it really? What do we do about this crisis? I'll put your faith in God. Don't put it in the stock market. Don't put it in something else. Don't put it in mankind. We're going to do the best we can. We're going to try to, we'll prevail. I'm sure we will. But the answer is to put our faith in God. Luke 4:4. But Jesus answered, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. This time is a time to hear, what is God saying? What's he saying to you? I pray that during this time, that your quiet time is something that you don't miss. It's something that you don't take for granted. You don't just walk by, but it becomes a source in an area where you're connecting with the God and you're getting your instructions, your marching orders for the day. He's going to fill you up with things to be able to share with people that you're going to come in contact with that day from a distance. He's going to give you something. He's going to speak to you. He doesn't just leave you alone and go, well, I hope we get through this thing. Boy, it's kind of scary. I don't think that's God's perspective right now. His perspective is, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Hey, I got some things to tell you because I got some great things I want you to do today. I want some people's lives to be changed by what you're going to say, by how you're going to act, by what you're going to do, by the peace that you'll bring. In Luke 10, 41 and 42, Jesus comes for a visit with Mary and Martha. And as you know the story, Martha is busy doing stuff, making things happen and all of that. And Mary, you know, she's just sitting at Jesus' feet listening to what he has to say. And in Luke 10, 41 and 42, it says this, "And Jesus answered and said to her," and boy, could he not say this to us today. "And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, Phil, hey, put your name in there. You are worried and troubled about many things." You are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Not be taken away from her. Here's Martha, worried about everything, worried and troubled. What's going on? What's happening? What? Hey, Jesus, do something. And he said, you know what? The important thing is that you sit at my feet and listen to what I have to say to you. My prayer is that relationship with Jesus Christ would be at an all-time record high amongst the church and amongst the world. That these days, for such a time as this, that people would be yearning for something more than this fickle world, something more than the ups and downs, something more than the fear and drama, something that's eternal, and they are. Church, let this be our finest hour where we're in the Word, we're in the presence, we're hearing the voice of the living God, who we prayed, Lord, let your presence be here. Let your presence be here. Lord, let your presence be here. Speak to me. Speak to us, Jesus. Guide us, direct us. Let us be your hands extended to minister to a world that's full of fear and anxiousness. Let us show them peace. My third point. They're looking for hope. They're looking for answers. They're looking for peace. Peace. I like it. Isaiah 9:6 says this. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." No, it's not Christmas. "And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." This is his name. Prince of Peace. His name is peace. His name is peace. What everyone is looking for now. The Prince of Peace. That's his name. That word peace there is Tom's favorite word, shalom. 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 It means, he's the prince of this. It means safe. It means well. Happy. Friendly. Welfare. It means health. His name means shalom, peace, means health. That's what we need. He's it. It means prosperity. Jesus is peace. He is shalom. I wish I could just fall back into something here. I would love to show you what it feels like just to go, ah. But at the end of the it would be, ooh. But just into the arms of Jesus. What's the matter with you? Don't you know anyone? Oh, no, I'm at peace, man. I'm at peace. No, I'm not token here in Washington. I'm at peace from something that's divine. Peace that comes from an encounter with the living God. Peace. Peace. Jesus is the attribute peace, just like God is the attribute love. God is love. Jesus is peace. Health. Happy. Friendly. When you accept Jesus into your heart, Jesus comes into your life, and what he brings with it is peace. Peace is freedom from disturbance. Means tranquility. Peace, the ability to remain calm in the midst of uncertainty. The ability to remain calm in the midst of uncertainty. We live in uncertain times. The biggest anxiety thing out there is we're uncertain. We're uncertain. What will happen? Will the whole world die, or will we solve this thing? Everybody's uncertain. But one thing is certain. Jesus isn't going anywhere. Amen. He's here for us. He is peace for us. He is a different effect on us than the effect of the world. Demonstrate that, church. Demonstrate the peace that you possess to a world that's uncertain. You want people to ask you questions? Why are you peaceful in the midst of all of this worry and uncertainty? Because I have the essence of peace living in my body. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing. Anxious means experiencing worry, unease, or nervousness, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Be anxious for nothing. We're to be worried, uneasy, nervous about nothing, nada, zilch, zero. We're not supposed to worry. We're not supposed to be anxious. We're not supposed to let anxiety get a hold of us. We're supposed to, Jesus. Aren't you worried? About what? Well, you know, everything could be the, hey, it didn't take Jesus Christ off the throne. It didn't shut heaven's doors to us. It didn't say, no longer can anybody go into eternity anymore. We have a virus. No more. We're done. We're full. We don't want to get what you guys got. Ain't going to happen, folks. What a day that's going to be. Do you understand this? It's going to be so awesome, so wonderful. Now, I'm not trying to exit real quick because right now we have one of our grandchildren being born, right? I mean, they're in labor right now. Lord, help her, help her, Lord, help her, help her, help her, help her, help her. So if my wife leaves, it isn't because she hated the message. It's because she's getting a text saying, come now. And if I leave, it's not because I didn't want to finish. Hallelujah. We are to be strategic and forward thinking, but not with fear. Anxiousness can lead to panic, fear. And ultimately, it can lead, worst case scenario, it leads to panic, it leads to fear, and ultimately it can lead to no toilet paper. And let me tell you what, when that happens, it's a bummer. All right. Be anxious for, but in everything by and supplication with, let your requests be made known to God. You see, the key to not being anxious, the key to not giving in to anxiety, the key to not being frustrated or worried is to give everything, underline everything, give everything to God in prayer. Everything. Everything means everything. But I'm worried about, no, I give it to God in prayer. But I think, no, I give it to God in prayer. Now, I'm not talking about we shouldn't continue to work and do stuff and all of that and be strategic. But we are not supposed to worry. We're not supposed to be anxious about nothing. Thank God our president called the nation to prayer. Our answer, our direction, our leading, our peace comes from prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Tell Him your prayers. Tell Him what you want. Tell Him what you're praying for. Talk to Him in your quiet time. And if you do that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, peace of God, it passes all understanding, surpasses, it says, surpasses, not just passes, but surpasses is the word hooper echo, and it means to hold oneself above, to excel, superior, superiority. The lexicon says to be of surpassing or exceptional value. You see, this peace is so valuable in the midst of so much confusion, in the midst of so much worry. Do you know that worry and anxiousness, anxiety, it takes life out of your body? It takes life out of your body when we become anxious. And He's saying, I'm going to give you this awesome commodity called peace. 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 God gives peace in situations that do not make sense to the natural mind. Why aren't you worried? Are you uninformed? Are you, what's the matter with you? You nitwit? What's going on here? I got a peace inside. I figured all that worry does is just ruin your life and take energy and effort out of it. I want to put Jesus Christ into it. And then I want to enjoy the peace that passes everybody else's understanding. But don't you know, yeah, I could go and see Jesus. That'll be awesome. But you could have some difficult, you know what? I can enjoy the presence of Jesus here. In the midst of everything that's going on. But I refuse to worry. I refuse to get upset. I refuse to get anxious. Because I have the Prince of Peace. He says that this surpasses all understanding. And that peace, he says, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Through Christ Jesus. That superior peace guards your heart and mind. It guards my mind from wrong and foolish thinking and anxiety. It guards my heart from beating too fast because I'm worried about something. It guards you. His peace is on guard in your life. Something comes up. Oh my gosh, look at this. Hey, we're guarding this man. You're not getting in. You're not getting in. Worry, you're not getting in here. You can't come. This does not belong to you. I am guarding this man. I am guarding this woman. They will not give in to anxiousness. They will not give in to worry because I am saturating them with a supernatural gift, the presence of God Almighty, which is peace. Oh, man, folks, It's our time to walk in peace like never before, because we trust the living God as we sit in the palm of His hand. Do with me whatever, Lord, because I'm here for such a time as this. Use me, Lord. Guards. To mount a guard as a sentinel. To hem in and protect. That's what it's doing. It's protecting your heart, protecting your mind from everything that wants to get in. You see, that superior peace surrounds and protects our hearts and minds from the worry of the world. It protects us from the worry of the world. Oh, what if? What if? What? But what if? Oh, no. Oh, no. Watch out. Watch out. Oh, what's going to happen? Oh, no. Peace. It's a valued commodity right now. Better than toilet paper. And you own it. Peace. 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 It helps you sleep at night. Peace. 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 Thank you, Lord. Now let me say this, that freedom from worry does not mean we act careless, but we act with wisdom. Okay? I'm not saying carelessness or worry-free. I'm just careless. I don't care. I'm just going to see everybody, hug everybody, spitting on everybody. And just No, it doesn't mean you do that. Okay? It means we walk with wisdom. Wisdom. But I want to give you a couple of thoughts here. Jesus gives us peace so we can replace worry with wisdom. He gives us the peace so we can replace worry with wisdom. Now let me take this further. Worry promotes fear, and wisdom promotes faith. Worry is reactive, but wisdom is proactive. Worry produces thoughtless and debilitating anxiety. It does, it does, it does. It worry produces thoughtless and debilitating anxiety. Wisdom produces thoughtful and deliberate action. We are called to rise up with action, wisdom, thoughtfulness. How do we move? How do we navigate? We get our instructions from the Lord. We walk with wisdom. Wisdom. 2 Timothy 1:6-7. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. You know that sometimes fear runs in a spirit. It's a bad spirit that just kind of flies on people and everybody kind of gets it. Everybody just starts going, ha, ha. Now, I'm for wisdom and responsibility, but not fear. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. The word fear, timidity, faithlessness, faithless, fearful. God does not give fear. The devil gives it. His number one tactic that he wants to use in the world today is to make everybody fearful. Get you afraid, because then you don't think. Oh, my God, what am I going to do? Nobody thinks. We don't run around with our head cut off. We're just fearful. We have these emotions, these anxieties, all of these feelings, and we don't know what to do with them. And so we just run around and just grab toilet paper. I thought it was funny too. I'm not saying that we shouldn't use wisdom. I'm not saying that if you can find it on the shelf, you should grab a few rolls. But when you feel fear, anxiety, worry, it's not from God. It's from the enemy. If you're feeling that, you've got to stop and go, wait a second. Hey, put my head back on. Quit running around. I need to get on my knees and get with the Father and let the peace that passes all understanding permeate and invade my soul so that I'm walking in the courage, strength, and wisdom of the supernatural living God in my day-to-day life. Uncertainty creates fear. God doesn't give it. God gives us power, love, and a sound mind. This word power, dunamis, a miraculous power, a miracle itself. He gives us love. This love here is agape. That's His love, right? The love of God, He gives it. The same love that God loves us, we get to love other people. This agape love, that's what He's given us. A sense of peace of this, and this love. Love, not fear. 1 John 4:16-19 says, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. You see, love is the demonstration and verification that God is in you. I'm loving people. I'm helping people. I'm concerned about our nation. I'm concerned about our city. I'm concerned about my neighbor. I'm helping. I'm not just, me and everybody else. We just all hold our own stuff. Instead, we use wisdom. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is. So are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Don't let fear get a hold of you. Perfect love casts it out. The word cast means to throw out with violence, to throw it out intensely. God is just throwing out fear out of your life. Get rid of it. Shake it off. Slap yourself a few times. Ouch. I feel like my leg started to shake right there as I was. He's given us a sound mind, at least some of us a sound mind. Self-control. Hallelujah. What a time to be alive. To be the physical demonstration of the peace of God in the midst of a crisis. Wow. Wow. Wanted opportunity? We just got it. We just got it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No fear. To bring this down to a conclusion, one of my favorite songs is Fear is a Liar by Zach Williams. And the lines in it go like this. Fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness, cast your fear in the fire, because fear, he is a liar. And it ends with this. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fears. Let your fire fall. Your love is all I feel. As I mentioned earlier, wisdom is needed in times like this. We're not presuming that we're invincible because we're Christians.
Oh, I'll never get it.
To believe not to get it is a good thing, yes. Use wisdom as you move forward, though. Don't be presumptive. Be wise. Be wise. Be wise. We are to walk in faith, but with wisdom. We are moving forward with trust and wisdom, not fear. We want to shine light, hope, and peace. That peace that passes all understanding. To our community, to our friends, to of the world. In this global health crisis, the church is going to shine. It will be our finest hour. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we are here for such a time as this. Amen? Amen. I'd like to take just a few moments to give some practicals, and then I'm going to pray for us. Some practicals. Number one, church will be open for now. We'll overflow in the family center when everybody gets back. Sunday and Wednesday we'll be going. We want to offer a place of rest and peace in the midst of the storm. Again, it could change at any time where we're shifting to just, we got the worship team here, and we're asking everybody to stay home. But for now, if you feel comfortable in coming, then come. At church services, please keep your distance from others. I know this is going to be difficult for you. Don't touch anybody. Don't hug anybody. Please, just don't do that. Just keep a distance. It's just a wise thing to do. Keep your space. Don't give them a hug. Don't lick them on the ear. Don't. Just stay away a little bit. Okay? Stay away a little bit. Use smiles and hand waves. I love you. Okay? Also in the community you go out to as well, do the same thing. Don't reach out your hand to shake somebody. They all get it now. Stay your distance. Be wise in how you're moving forward. Spread out in the church. You can spread out. We got lots of room. Spread out. Wash your hands often. And try not to touch your face. Carrie gave me this thing here. Here's a dog talking to the master. It's for your own good. You have to stop touching your face. The funny thing is our dog right now is wearing one of those because he has a sore in his foot. And so she sends this to me. It's hard not to touch your face. I've touched mine about 30 times since I've been talking. I know that. Try not to. Thirdly, we will be live streaming all services, Sundays and Wednesdays, and we'll continue to do so. We'll continue to do so and offer a message of hope. Regardless of what happens, we will continue to be preaching on Sunday mornings. We'll continue to do services on Wednesday as well. We want to open it up and again spread out so people can come and pray and worship. If you are sick in any way, don't come. If you are older and compromised in health in any way, don't come. If you are younger and compromised in health, especially with the immune system or respiratory issues, don't come. If you don't feel comfortable coming, don't come. Praise the Lord, I said, we'll have live streaming so you can pick up the messages live or you can pick them up later as well. And fifthly, I would ask that if you don't come, please, please watch the messages. Either live or you can go back a couple days later and get them. I want you to stay current with what we're saying here. We're a body together. And I want us to feel connected together. You may be at home. That's great. That's awesome. But my heart as a shepherd is that we would stay connected. You're important. You're valuable. We need you. And for this time, although it breaks all of our hearts, I'm so glad that you feel safe. I'm so glad you're doing that which is responsible. But get the messages. Get the messages. If you have problems with anything and how this all works, we have tech people that can help you get it set up. All right? I don't want anybody going, oh, I don't know, so I don't. No, no, no. Call us. We'll get you all set up. Youth group. We'll still be meeting. If you know, when I think about our kids, when we canceled school for that month, I've never seen so many students, especially seniors, so unhappy that there was no more school. Usually everybody goes, yee-haw, yay, and everybody's going, what? Because they miss their friends. They miss the relationships together. So we realize that, you know, kids are pretty bummed. They're in a lower risk group for sure. And we want to offer an opportunity for them. If you're uncomfortable about that, don't send your children. If you're okay, then send them. They're some of the least risk group we have out there are our children. We're always trying to protect them, but they're kind of in the least group right now. Number 7, we will probably have a number of people in our community contract the virus. Probably some in our own church. It's not a death warrant, okay? Don't freak out. Oh my God, I'm going to go to Siberia. I mean, no, don't do that. Remember, I just preached a message about that. Don't freak out. For the vast majority of people, they're going to experience mild symptoms. And then in a few days, they're going to get over it. They're going to be as good as new. They're going to get over it quickly and fully. Some probably will never know that they even had it. But those at risk groups need to take special precautions. That's why we don't want them here right now. I want you to stay safe. But I don't want us to freak out if it happens. We'll believe not for it, yes. But I'm going to say, if it happens, let's not freak out, but let's minister with love. Have compassion on people. Don't get critical. Well, how could you let this happen to you? I was out there and I said, please, anybody with a coronavirus, come up to me and spit on me. Please spit on me. Could you please spit and infect me? That they didn't do that, okay? Don't get critical of them. Darn. It's unfortunate. Don't get critical. Don't look down on them, but let us look up to heaven for them. Don't look down on them, but look up to heaven for them and pray that our awesome God would bring healing. We pray for the sick. That's what we do. That's what Jesus did. Amen. If you have any questions, please email me. See me afterwards. I want to make sure that we clarify. Hopefully, we're all on the same page. Amen. Let me pray. Father, we do pray for protection upon us. Pray for protection for our church. I pray for protection on our city, our state, our country, our world, Lord. Help us. We don't get it. We don't totally understand why it's happening, why you're allowing this. But Lord, somehow everything works together for good, and we just trust you. We want to make sure that we weather this storm well. That when we look back, we don't have any regrets of how we foolishly did something, but of how we rose up in faith and trusted God as we moved forward. That we loved people and we showed them hope, answers, and peace in the midst of this crisis. Help us to, Lord, pray for the sick and believe that they get made well quickly. It's what you did, Jesus. Help us during this time to walk and act like you, Lord. Instruct us in our quiet time with you. We love you, Lord. I love these people that are in this building and those that are watching from home. May the blessing of the Lord be upon you, to keep you. Let him bless you and you're going in and you're coming out. Let him touch you as a divine act from heaven. And let us feel, Lord, and sense your peace in the midst of the storm.
And then, Father, use us to give that peace away to a world that's a little bit more uncertain today. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for being so good to us. You are awesome, God. And it's in that wonderful name of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, we pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. God bless you.
All right.